good morning, everyone. Oh, and it's lovely to be here this morning with all of you, and it's really lovely to have the sun back. Although Dad depressingly tells me that it's not supposed to stay throughout the whole day. So this morning, it's a collection of different people who are contributing to this service. It'll just gradually get handed on from person to person.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that's taking part this morning, because I might forget at the end, because it's been a real pleasure. People have come to me when they knew that we were having a joint service between ourselves. And it's not been hard work at all. People have offered to do things. Could I sing? Could I play? You know, and it's been really good. Could I share? So I've asked a couple of people, but they've responded immediately. So thank you. And we're just praying that it'll all be a lovely time together. And we're just so glad that we're in a church that, you know, everyone loves the Lord, and there's such a unity, such a blessing. So we're going to start by having a couple of choruses. Number 37, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Did you think you were getting away without singing?
Right.
So we'll just sing them all once.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still.
I am the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can come and be with you and be with one another. And looking at that last verse, to trust you. We can trust in you. What a God you are that loves us so much. You've given us everything we need, and there's more beside. But most of all, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on Calvary. And we just love you and worship you and adore you.
Yes.
Father, bless this service this morning. Bless each one who takes part. But most of all, Father, we just praise and bless you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So our opening hymn, and you can stand for this, is 825, Faithful One. Going to come and share something now, and we're not having anyone at the front, so everyone will be saying the next hymn, so I'll pop them up here just in case you miss anything. Thank you.
Quite a few years ago I used to read a magazine called People's Friends. Some of the ladies will know it's quite old fashioned. And in still do, right? Well, in those days they used to have a column where they would advertise things that you could send up for if you wanted them, and the person who had the book would send it to you free. And regularly on that list came up this name, Thomas A. Kempis. I thought, who is this Thomas A. Kempis that everybody seems to go mad about? I thought, I'm going to send for it. I did. I discovered it was a tiny little book like this, which I have since lent to somebody and never got back. But he's written this one as well. This is The Imitation of Christ. But the one I had was Practicing the Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. He wrote it in 14-something or other. And it was in Latin, and it was later translated into English. And I thought, I'm going to read this book. And it took a long time to get through it because it was all in old these and thous, and, you know, not the kind of language we use now. But the essence of it was, and this is what he wanted to get across to people, we're so busy doing everything these days that we've no time to sit and think and meditate and actually get used to the idea that Jesus is there in the room with you. He is present. Practicing the presence is allowing your mind to think, he is here with me, reminding me. And I am reminding myself that he is here with me. And it's a lovely feeling to know that when you're thinking about it, when the time, you can't be thinking about Jesus all the time, but when you are doing, you're making a conscious effort to realise he's there in the room with you. Now, why I'm telling you that is because I always have a fear of going to the dentist, I'll admit this now. Who doesn't like going to the dentist? Well, anyway, I knew I was in for a bit of a tough time this time. And when I got inside, he was there with all his instruments, and his nurse was there with all her instruments. And by the time they've got the mirror in your mouth and the suction thingy in your mouth and the drill in your mouth and all that, there's not much room to breathe. And that was my problem. I'm always struggling for breath. And I was really beginning to panic. I could feel the panic rising up inside me. And I thought, I've got to think, Jesus is here with me. She was there, he was behind me, and I thought, Jesus, are you here? And a voice in my head said, I'm at your feet. And I thought, there was no actual voice. It came into my mind, I'm at your feet, at the bottom there. I thought, thank you, Lord, that was such a relief. And I felt the panic subside and this sort of, you know, peaceful feeling. I still don't like going to the dentist, I must admit. But I just thank Thomas at Kempis for reaching out with those words of his, because he went right through the Bible and chose the various scriptures to mention in his book that reminded us that Jesus is with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And another one, lo, I am with you to the end of the world. And many, many more. So if you're in a tight spot, just bring Jesus into it. And not only that, but meditate with him and feel that he's present with you. He really does bless us at times like that. And it's a true, wonderful feeling. He lifts us from the fear and he fills us with a spirit of trust, which is a good feeling. It really gives you that feeling of, you know, solidarity with him. Thank you.
Alan said he'd like to say a few words. No? Are you good?
To well, I'm very pleased to be here. I'm stopping here. I'm very pleased to be here because I haven't been for a bit. Also delighted that in front of me, this young lady who's been very, very poorly, not messing about like me. Good to see you, kid. All right. Actually, I stood up to say, am I announcing a hymn as well?
If you like.
Well, you told me to. It's good to be here. And what I wanted to say really was, June and I are very grateful for all the prayers that those who chose to make them for us have made over the past few weeks. It's still a bit of a tough time for us, for me, because as you know, I'm in a long programme of chemotherapy which goes on forever, which I'm enduring. But this last Tuesday I had a major blood transplant. As you can tell, it's affecting my head to some advantage. So we are grateful for all of that. And I was told to choose a hymn, and I've chosen one which I have just been given. I knew that. In Heaven They Love Abiding, 331. And it's one which I've obviously known a long, long time. I say obviously because I'm old. And way back in the dark days, when I was 18, can you imagine me being 18?
No.
I joined the RAF, or the RAF came for me. And after I'd done the usual initial training, they said, you're posted to the Middle East. Well, the Middle East is quite a big place. Now, they never tell you the area where you're going. You arrive at an airport, you get on a plane and go. But during that period of time, I was only 18, remember, 18, and this hymn came to me because obviously there was some uncertainty, but this hymn is very, very certain. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart will be, etc., etc. So shall we sing that?
Thank you, that was wonderful. Thank you, Alan. 331. Okay. over to Tom now, who's got a word about prayer, and then he's going to lead us into prayer.
Prayer's been a lot of my mind over the past year or so. I've been gradually learning to pray, learning to spend time with the Lord, and the hardest part of that is listening, those periods of silence, and wondering if He will speak to you and how. Our Lord Jesus says to us to closet ourselves away when He's teaching us about the Lord's Prayer, and I think part of this is so that we won't worry about what we say and how we say it. We can come to Him spontaneously, we can be genuine, and I would certainly encourage everyone to be genuine when they speak to the Lord in prayer, not worrying about what manner of words that one can say. I can be rather ineloquent when I pray and stumble all over the place. And pray about anything, even things, you know, oh, I'm not sure I should really say that sort of thing. You know, God wants us to dialogue with Him, to even asking questions, even on things that we feel, oh, maybe I shouldn't be insecure about that. You know, especially talk to Him about that, and he responds and listen for Him. Yeah, and you know, I'll just read a bit from James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we are made right with God in Jesus, in Him. By blood He shed, by dying for us, we are clothed in His righteousness. So we can approach God with confidence to pray to Him. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. There was another point where Elijah's having a low moment. He's sat under the broom tree, having run away from Jezebel. And he says to God, let me die, Lord. Let me die. And, God doesn't do what he asks. He gives him breakfast. sends an angel, and he wakes up, and breakfast is there, and God encourages him. Sometimes God doesn't answer how we may expect. It can be different, but He does answer. So, yeah, encourage, just bring everything to God in prayer. Pray in spirit at all times. Give everything to God in thanks. Bring things before Him. So that's what we shall do now for a bit. Father God, I thank you that we can bring things to you, that we have the privilege of being able to bring things to you, to a living, holy God who listens to us. We know that where two or more of us are gathered and agree on something, that you hear us. And we know that you hear us even when one of us prays, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this and for your love, your holiness, who you are, everything, that you died for us, and that we are in you, and you in us. Lord, I thank you that you reveal your will in your word, and that we can pray according to your will. Lord, help us to pray, teach us to pray. Many of us here are suffering in various circumstances, ill in mind or body. Lord, we offer these to you. If anybody would like to offer anything to the Lord in prayer right now, then feel free. I'll close in a couple of minutes or so.
Thank you, Father, that you revealed yourself to us personally through the Lord Jesus, and our faith in him, and finished work at Calvary and the victory over the empty tomb as we look again to celebrating Easter, that we will afresh rejoice and show and demonstrate that Jesus changes lives from our own personal experience and point them and draw them to him too, with your help only, Lord, in Jesus' name.
The Lord, we're so blessed to know that, as Jim was sharing, that you will always draw close to us as we draw close to you. We're so blessed to have you in our lives, changing our lives, blessing our lives. Oh, Lord, we're conscious that so many don't know you, don't understand the blessing that you want to bring to them. And so, Lord, we just offer the forthcoming Alpha course to you and ask that you would change lives through that. Lord, we want friends, neighbours, family to know you where they already don't. So, Lord, help us to invite people along. And, Lord, would you inspire them to come? And may they be blessed by coming. Lord, help us to welcome them. And help us to have your words for them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thank you for this beautiful spring day today. Lord, as we look around and we see all the buds bursting and the colour coming into the garden, we realise what a bountiful God you are, how wonderful and creative you are, Lord. Your provision for us is fantastic. Lord, we thank you that we are so blessed here in this country with all manner of wonderful foods to eat and beautiful views to see. Lord, we have need of nothing here, and we just thank you for all that we have. We pray for our friends, Lord, and we pray for our young people, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, especially the children at Heron Hill School, Lord, that as the NISCU go in and talk to them each week, that little hearts will be open to you, and that many seeds will be sown that will blossom in the future. And may there be fruit coming from those children, Lord, that will one day begin to spread your word again. And Lord, this is how it goes. Thank you that we heard your word one day. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will mightily bless the word that goes into the school. We do especially pray for our grandchildren, Lord, if they're in secondary school, going through that difficult time of their lives when they're changing, they're growing up. Things are being offered to them that shouldn't be, and they're having to make the mind up, Lord, decisions as to whether they accept things or turn away. Lord, give them your wisdom, we pray. Give them your strength, and be with parents, Lord. Be with them, that they might know your inspiration to guide and to keep their children. Lord, we just ask that you'll pour out a blessing on our youngsters today. They seem to be wandering and lost. Bring them to yourself, Lord, we pray, in a wonderful way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Father, I thank you for these prayers. I thank you for your presence with us. Let's have a real sense this morning that is the emphasis that you've given us, drawing near to you. And so, yes, Lord, this we do want. As Paul says, to keep on being filled with the Spirit, and so I pray, Father, please continue to fill us with your Spirit. Pour your Spirit upon us, I pray. Fill us to the brim, Lord, overflowing. Anoint us for service. And Lord, please, send us out. Send out workers to gather in the harvest. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through us and what you've given us this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and now Anne is going to bring us a song, and then my dear sister will be next.
Jesus' words from Mark chapter 10, verse 27, I think, are, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. With God nothing is impossible." And a couple of weeks or so before Jenny was speaking to people about taking part in this service, I was at the clinic where I go to have the wound that I've got on my shin looked at and treated. And Alex, who's the main lady that I see there, who has incredible knowledge, she gave me some really good news. She was really positive about how it was healing. And I just felt inside welling up relief, joy, and I suppose automatically I glanced upwards and I went, "Thank you, God." And Alex went, "Wasn't him, it was me." And I thought, oh. And I just thought so much about what she'd said. And really thinking so much about how I believe with all my heart that God has been so close to me over the last 6 months, because most of you know that little puncture wound on my shin originally that was next to nothing caused me so many health problems and the sepsis and the hospital and the blood clots. And at the time, it felt hopeless, it felt impossible. And I was so frightened. And I didn't know what to say. Tom, you spoke about stumbling through prayers. I don't think I even stumbled through prayers. I just kept thinking, "Please, God,
When I think back now, though, God was there. June, you kept phoning me, and you were telling me that everybody was praying for me here. And also, even while I was in the hospital, God was providing for me. There was a lovely old lady nearby, Mary, and she had a private carer. And poor Mary was not awake most of the time. But Sue, the carer, was with her. But Sue couldn't talk to Mary, so Sue was chatting to me because, somebody of a similar age and who can actually communicate, so you're going to talk to them, and she did. And Sue's knowledge was amazing as well. And any questions I had, Sue could answer, and she could help me, and she supported me, and she's actually kept in touch ever since to make sure I'm okay. And I think God gave her to me as well. And whatever Alex thinks, the more I thought about what she said, she has got incredible knowledge, but I believe that God gave her that knowledge or gave her the will to want to obtain that knowledge. And I would possibly even go so far as to say I may even believe that he gave her that knowledge and put her in the place where I was already attending the place where she works, because they are also a salon that do nails and things like that. So I knew her anyway. And I would almost go so far as to say I believe God had that planned to heal me right from the start. And yeah, there's a little bit of healing still to go, and at times I still get scared and I still get worried and I still think, oh, what if it hasn't healed up completely by the time I go away on the summer holiday? I really want it to be healed. But while I was thinking about this service and everything that's happened, everything I've just spoken about, I knew that I must either say or sing something about healing. And I couldn't really think of anything offhand. And so I started looking online, which, you know, that's what we do, isn't it? Go online if we want to find something. And I started looking through songs about God's healing power. And the song I'm going to sing is called Healer, and that was the first song that came up. And there's a few versions on the internet, and when I first heard it, I thought, oh, I don't think I want to sing that. I've never heard it before in my life, and I'm not sure. But I think God wanted me to sing this, because I kept looking, and I kept looking, and I kept looking, and this song kept coming up and coming up, different versions, until in the end I was like, right, okay, fine, I'll sing that. And yeah, it's about healing, but also I think for me, sometimes when I said I still have worries and concerns, the song also reminds us about those words of Mark chapter 10 verse 27, that nothing is impossible. Because on the very week that I was looking for a song and choosing the song, that reading actually cropped up, I think, in the Our Daily Bread Bible readings. Later that week, Dave and I were polishing and dusting our living room, and I picked up a file which has got photographs in it of a trip to Longleat. And out of it fell a laminated bookmark, which is years old, and it's actually from this church, probably before it was even in this centre here. And I took it from Auntie May's house when she died, just as a little memento. It's got daffodils on, which were her favourite flower on the mine. But on that, I think it's Luke 1:37, and that just says, nothing is impossible with God. And that fell out of that file. And this morning, as well, Mum said to me, what was I singing? And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you because hopefully you'll hear it on the memory stick in future weeks. And she said, well, who chose it for you? And I said to her, God did. And she went, you can't say that. And I said, yeah, I can, Mum, because he did. And then I get the Our Daily Bread readings on an email every day online. And when I opened this morning's, I said to her, look, Mum, today's is Singing in the Spirit. And the little Bible reading that it's got at the start is Be Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. And I said, if that isn't conclusive proof, Mum, I don't know what is. So I really do believe God wants me to sing this song. And I pray that he'll fill me with his Spirit and continue healing me. And I really want to sing it for his glory. You own my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. I trust in you. Lord, I trust.
Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are the one I praise. And I think Sam's going to help us with the offering now. Maybe tell us a bit more about our dedication slips. Yes, so when you came in, you will have got bombarded by me waving bits of paper and a pen at you. I hope you still have these said bits of paper and a pen. And what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to send around a basket and we're going to put these bits of paper with whatever we've written on it in there as an offering to God. So a bit like we do when we put a tithe in. And I had this idea a few weeks back while we were taking a collection and thought sometimes it's not just about money. Although don't get me wrong, tithing is brilliant because it enables God's word and love to be spread. So yes, please do still tithe. But I thought, well, our lives, we are called as Christians to be set apart. And we have to give up things in order to follow God. Sometimes they're not big, sometimes they are, sometimes they're life-changing, sometimes they're not. To be honest, it doesn't matter as long as it's for God. God loves everything we do when we have a heart for Him. I'll give you a few little examples. I don't know whether any of you have struggled. I certainly did struggle. I only wrote it while I was at church today, on my bit. But I thought that sometimes people could dedicate when... Those of you that meet for prayer on a Monday, you've set aside that time to spend with each other, to pray for other people that you do know or don't know. A very selfless act. One that is following in Jesus' footsteps, God's life. And so that could be an offering for God. Some of you bake. Some of you bake an awful lot. And provide that gift for the community on a coffee morning. We all bring and share for each other on a Jacob's Join. That is an offering, a beautiful fellowship gift, and God loves that. Sometimes some of the things are a bit bigger. I'll pick on one thing in the Bible. Abraham and Isaac. Oh, wow. Yes, he offered his son, the promised one, for him. And he offered that to God, and God says, thank you for your offering. Keep him. and Tom was saying about, Elijah. And Elijah went to this house where there was a mother and a son, and they were about to cook their last meal. And he asked for the food, and she gave it to him. She didn't know what he was about to do, what God was about to do. She gave that offering of bread, simple bread. And for that, her and her son were saved throughout the lack of food. So it really doesn't matter what you've put. We won't read them because it's between you and God. So a basket's just going to go around now to collect your little bits of paper in for God. And now, we didn't want to confuse you, we are going to take up our monetary offering for God as well, and then Fred will pray over them both.
Splendor and good. I'd like to start off just reading four verses for you from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
Yeah, this is a double act, husband and wife. One about our daughter, who you don't know. When she was young, coming up to about seven, she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talented young lass, well, I'm biased. The trials, though, at secondary level of education, the determination of Nell to show her faith, word and action, opposition. This is a reminder to me and us all, pray, as Jude mentioned. The young people go through a real tough time. Maybe we did when we were young. She showed that particularly when friends from primary school kowtowed to the bullies and then pulled away from Nell. Meanwhile, she befriended a lass who was being bullied badly. Health pressures, but Nell stuck by her, principled. Of course, talking with her, she said, "It's all right, Dad, I can cope." Second reminder, pray. I should have been praying more for her. Because I didn't know, tell you what happened next.
At 14 and a half, Nell began to lose weight. At first, the intention was good. She'd had a, shall we say, an indulgent Christmas and decided that something had to be done. So she started to go on an eating plan to lose weight. At first that was positive. She looked healthy and she was losing the weight and regaining a little bit more in confidence because she felt so much better. And then, unfortunately, it was almost that she had forgotten what the real purpose of losing the weight was. She was losing rather too much weight, and it soon became obvious that there was a difficult situation here, and it was somewhat out of hand. Despite her protests, "I'm all right, I know what I'm doing, I've got it in control here." However, situations at school, as Chris explained, were proving difficult. GCSEs were on the horizon, various pressures, peer pressures, and eating became less and less. Talking was difficult, still insisting, "Everything's all right, Mum, it's all right, I'm in control." By the beginning of year 10, on her first day back in school that year, she got a brand new pair of shoes on, which admittedly she was finding it difficult to get used to. She stood at the top of the stairs, was talking to me about something, took a step down and she actually fell down the stairs. I was at the bottom, so fortunately I caught her. I could only feel skin and bone on her frame. So she went to school. I didn't say anything there and then. It would have been difficult to have a discussion. And I suggested to her that we actually go and see the doctor about the situation, which she protested about, but I insisted. I'm afraid I really did insist. I made the appointment regardless. And I said, okay, if you don't go, I will go, because I want to know what to do with this now very difficult situation. And so we went to the GP, and what followed in subsequent months were various appointments to referrals to mental health clinic, the mental health clinic, the child adolescent eating disorders unit, because by now she was definitely officially diagnosed with anorexia nervosa. I'm sorry, this is rather emotional, and it's likely to get even more emotional. So, however, we will progress.
Yes, the coming out of school because she couldn't really cope health-wise, and caring primarily for Leon Eileen. I was running a business. I was wanting to support Eileen as much as possible. The trial of trying to eat for someone with anorexia, it's almost impossible. So going out to a restaurant, religiously as it were, every early evening, seeing them go, and then coming back, this kept going day by day, week by week. The endeavour to support Nell and together see that somehow God will move in her life. But it was terrifying. The anguish is almost impossible into words. Others will know from their own experiences. How long, Lord, is this going to keep going? We can't make a change of mind. And the mind plays terrible tricks, all sorts of deceits. And then you can't think straight when you have anorexia nervosa. Because we had to learn a lot about it. And to stick together, pray together, crying out to God to sustain us. Just a little statistic from BEAT, the BEAT Eating Disorders charity survey. 78% of parents split up after the onset of anorexia in a child or children. Such pressures, almost impossible to bear. But we were determined that somehow our daughter is going to come through, and that she will not just gradually fade away, which is what can happen. Okay.
Nell had been admitted to the Eating Disorders Child Adolescent Unit, and had subsequently been discharged, and then she came home for a few months, but began losing weight yet again. And this is apparently quite a common practice, that they gain weight in the unit, come home, and it's almost as if pressures upon them are still so great. It's an illness, remember. It's a mental illness. And this was another thing we had to learn so quickly, that it was a mental illness. And that's very difficult for people to grasp because of the physical effect. How can it be mental when it has this physical effect? But the physical effect is something which is way, way, way at the end of the line. But it's the thing that people see immediately. Anyway, she was readmitted, this time to QEPH, which is shorthand for the Queen Elizabeth Psychiatric Hospital in Birmingham. We were living in Worcester at the time, so this was our nearest centre. And again, she had to go on a supervised eating program. We visited several times per week, and gradually she began to put on weight again and being discharged. And she was then she had to return for weekly appointments so that they could still keep an eye on her and monitor her progress. By this time she was 19 and missed out on her final year at school, so she had no qualifications, no exam results, nothing. Began losing weight again, but this time she couldn't face the thought of having to go into hospital yet again. And with an anorexic, they have to come to a certain point whereby they themselves want help. It's absolutely no use you saying to them, "Now look here, pull yourself together, it's time you got over this." And it is an attitude of mind. And only they themselves can get to a certain point. With some, it is a matter of months. With others, it's a matter of years. And they have to come to this point for themselves, whereby they decide, this has got to be a turning point. And she had decided by this stage at 19 that she couldn't possibly return to hospital again to go on and what was really an enforced eating program. This time the situation was in her hands. One of the reasons for our move to Kendal was that having spent many years up and going backwards and forwards to the Midlands, to Worcestershire, coming back up again for holidays, and going home again and coming back up again for holidays, and Nell decided that she would like to try living in Kendal because it was a place that was known to her. The reason for that was because it was an escape from all that was familiar to her in Worcester, including those triggers of memory which had caused her so much physical pain, and emotional distress and upset. It was a way of escaping those problems, the people who caused her problems at school, and there was a fear that she would go into town and meet someone face to face who, from the earlier situations, would cause her yet more pain, would trigger off the memories. And so we all decide to move to Kendal. We rented a flat initially, and Nell found a part-time job, which, again, was terrific progress for someone who was mentally still very vulnerable, very fragile. So very bravely she got this job at Booths, which working at Booths was a very brave move to my mind. But however, she also decided to enrol at the college to get her health and social care diploma in order to train as a nurse. I'll leave
Chris to finish off. Yeah. So this is over five and a half years, and our Heavenly Father sustains us. We were obviously very affected emotionally, physically, and the stresses and strains of sharing together, praying together, mining, crying out, "Lord, where are you in this?" And having to just give her over to him. And I haven't told you some of the dramatic situations. It would be too upsetting over that period of time, the ups and downs. But whatever your situation is, whatever trial you go through with your loved ones, Heavenly Father said he'd never leave nor forsake us, and he does miracles. So look to him. We still have to entrust her into his loving care. It's 10 years on now, and she's got her own family, but we're looking to her returning to the Lord. There are so many hurts, so many wounds that sometimes are not dealt with quickly or for some time. And one of the particular ones for Nell was trying to get out of her friends, why did you disown me? And she tried to achieve that when she was getting better and felt strong enough to do that. But as Eileen said, she thought, right, I've got to move. I've done what I can. I may never know why they shunned me, why they left me out, left me to the mercy of those who were bullying, not helping with this lass who needed support. They've gone. I've got to move forward. So thank God for bringing us through. It's affected us, our lives, but we are strong in him, stronger perhaps through it, through that experience. Give God all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stephanie and Bob are now coming to sing for you.
This is a part solo, part duet, part chorus. So if you want to follow, it's 115. And Bob's going to introduce it first. We're going to sing the first couple of verses. Whenever you feel ready, like on verses 3, 4, and 5, if you want to sing along, that would be great.
Well, we've heard quite a lot this afternoon, one way or another, about our needs, our individual needs, and our individual reliance on God. In essence, this is a response to that, and it's a response to what God does, not just for individuals, but for us as a people. And so, first of all, I want to read from Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you. So we're going to sing those same words, but as Stephanie said, in the form of a hymn, which is 115. There we are. I think you know it. If you don't, you'll soon pick it up. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. You will never sink beneath the waves. Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
burning all around you. You will never be consumed by the flames. Do not be afraid.
We've heard about prayer. We were going to talk about the grace, but I think the best thing we can do is share the grace together and go out rejoicing that we have a Heavenly Father who knows every need, who cares for you by name, who loves you so dearly. So shall we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Thank you to everyone. Hallelujah. Amen.